May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Several years ago, when I was in my late teens or early 20s, we won't talk about how long ago that was, I was with a group of explorers. They were the young adult division of the Boy Scouts. I think they call them venturers now or something, but I was the national chairman of one of these subsets of explorers, and we were going to a marine base to watch a demonstration of rappelling. Now, these Marines were rappelling down a 90-foot cliff, small, I'm sure, to them, but to us, it was enormous. And they came down several times. One of them even came down face forward, holding a machine gun, and we were really impressed. And then they wanted to know which one of us would like to try it. And it seemed nobody wanted to do it, and all eyes turned to me, being sort of the leader of this gang. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? It's 90 feet! But I figured I had the perfect out. I looked at my shoes, I saw I was in sandals, and I said, gee, I would, but it's not safe. I'm in sandals. And then I hear a small voice saying, what size do you wear? Well, sure enough, one of my friends was about my size, lent me her sneakers, and darn it all, they fit. So up to the top of the cliff, I bravely went, bravely on the outside, by the way. On the inside, I was thinking, why did I ever get out of bed this morning? They got me all rigged up, and then the Marine who would rappel down with me got beside me, and we backed up towards the edge of the cliff. And when it was time to do our thing, he said, now, are you ready? Lean back. And I'm looking at him like, are you crazy? It's 90 feet. What part of 90 feet do you not understand? So I tried. I leaned back as far as I thought I could and held so tightly to that rope. And he kept telling me I had to be 90 degrees to the cliff face. I wasn't going there. There was no way that I was going to let go that much of the rope. And I'm trying my best to get my feet kind of planted firmly on the cliff face, thinking that'll take care of it. And then it happened. My feet went right out from underneath me. And when I saw the readings for today, my mind went right back to that moment on the cliff. Right to that, wait for it, cliffhanger. Sorry, couldn't resist. But there are no cliffhangers in what we're doing today, what we hear today. Although I got to tell you, if the television networks had their way, as soon as David walked out to meet Goliath, there would be a commercial. Or, as they panned the stormy seas and the frightened faces of the apostles in the boat, you'd hear this voiceover that said, will Jesus continue sleeping? Will the storm toss them all to the sea? Will Peter ever get anything right? Tune in next week to the Gospel of Mark. Thankfully, we get our stories in the lectionary without commercials. And now, as I've said before, it's better to pick one story and stick with that when you're preaching. But like the last time, because these stories are so interconnected, I hope you stay with me for this one. I want to start first with the last line of the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, which we heard this morning. St. Paul writes, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. You know, there's real joy in a child's face, especially when they're very young and act on instinct and in the moment. And it's then that the parents need to keep a keen eye on them because they haven't quite learned about the dangers of a hot stove or a pool of water. They fall down and they get back up with an odd sort of look on their face. And if you haven't seen this, if you don't have children, then just come to our 9 o'clock service. And I think that those who are young hold on to this childlike wonder. We hope that they do anyway. All the adults in their life hope that they hold on to it so that they can grow fully into the joys of life. And while all parents want their child to lead a life without pain, a life filled with possibility and joy, no parent can guarantee this for a child. And what they will face changes so rapidly in this age of technology. All of us are living in a time filled with technology that changes every day, a world with all sorts of must-have tools, where we cannot seem to go a single minute without relying on some sort of technology, smartphones, computers, electronic gadgets, yes, iPads, websites. Technology is a good thing. But the adults in a child's life, parents, teachers, family, church, we all hope that we, over the years, have given each child the ability to live fully into who they are, to believe in themselves, and to have the resilience, love, and faith to walk through the hurts, pains, and disappointments of life. Because these are the tools that will serve them when technology can't. I remember a scene from the first Star Wars film, which was actually the fourth episode, if that isn't confusing enough. And this first movie was about a big battle between the Rebel Alliance and Darth Vader's Empire forces. The Empire had this great big ship called the Death Star, and it was meant to wipe out the Rebel Alliance. And if you haven't seen this movie, well, then just think of a great big Navy battle. Now, there's this thing called the Force, which interconnected an energy, sense of energy that interconnected everything in the universe. And our hero, the young rebel fighter Luke Skywalker, is the last one left who can hit the target to destroy this huge ship. The target is this teeny little hole on the side of this massive Death Star. And like all the fighters flying their spacecraft, he's using all the technology at his disposal to accurately target his last missile. And as he's nearing the target, he hears in his mind the voice of his mentor saying, "Use the Force, Luke." He shut down his targeting computer. All the technology that was available to him, he turned off. He closed his eyes, opened his heart to the Force, allowing it to guide him. He hit the target, and he saved the day. I speak as to children, open wide your hearts also. In the story of David and Goliath, we have another young hero. Now, here was this big old Goliath with all his big bling. We hear about the coat of bronze and his big helmet. And we wanted to clothe David in that same technology, that same tool, the armor. But he threw it off. He threw off the armor the king had given him. He let go and he let the Force we know as God, he too hit the target. But in the gospel story, we hear about the disciples in the boat with Jesus, the disciples who were experienced fishermen and knew full well the dangers of the sea. They had every reason to be afraid. They were not young children. Their experience of life told them that they were in danger. For all their craft, all their nets, their boats, they knew nature was a powerful force. And Jesus rebuked them and calmed the storm. When we were young, we're told, often told, that David and Goliath and the disciples in the boats are stories about what true faith is. David, who put his trust in God to help him defeat this gigantic foe, as an example of how we should be. And the disciples, who Jesus rebukes for being afraid of the storm, an example of a lack of real faith. And we don't really read Paul to kids. He's confusing enough to us adults. But well-meaning folks will stand in pulpits and Sunday school classrooms and declare that these stories tell us that with faith, all will be well. But the truth is, sometimes Goliath wins the battle. Sometimes the sea overtakes the boats and the passengers. Sometimes the empire strikes back. And here's another truth. Faith is not about everything going smoothly. Life just doesn't work that way. God is not a vending machine for what we want and what we hope for. And over time, as we weather the storms in our life or watch others suffer them, we naturally become afraid of losing what we love, risking what we know, believing in what we cannot see. We start to trust our manuals over instinct, experts over our own common sense. We stop believing in ourselves and look to technology, governments, agencies, or anything else that will help us. We close off our hearts to protect ourselves, and we pray not as conversation with God, but as a sort of direct request list to the divine. What these stories are telling us is that we need to open our hearts to the working of God within us, to know that no matter what happens, what storm overtakes us, what enemies seek to defeat us, we are never alone in that moment. God is always with us, always walking alongside of us, grieving when we grieve, rejoicing when we rejoice. As the psalm says, God is our refuge in times of oppression, our refuge in times of trouble. All of the passages today are telling us to open wide our hearts, to believe in ourselves and in God, not as a cure-all, but as a refuge in times of trouble. Because trouble will come. And we can't open our heart to for holding tight to the things we think will make life easy. Money, privilege, prestige, technology. We can't experience the fullness of relationship with God, much less each other, if we close our eyes to protect ourselves from the pain of loss. We have to shed that armor and walk boldly to face our deepest fears, knowing that God will be with us no matter the outcome. Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for the day when they would not have him physically there. If they always looked to him when they were in times of trouble, they would be lost to fear in the storms that lay ahead for them. They needed to open their hearts so the Holy Spirit could guide them. We too have to let go of our fears, our reliance on what we think is important, our belief that we're not good enough, strong enough, or that we are all alone. We have to let go and lean back on the side of cliffs. You see, that day on the cliffside, I didn't trust anything or anyone but that rope. I couldn't think about leaning so far back as to be at a right angle of the cliff. I clung to that rope and hoped I could hug the cliff enough to get through it. I thought I had to do it all by myself, me and my tools. But when my legs went out from underneath me, I ended up flailing in the air. I didn't fall. It was then that I realized something very important. I wasn't in this alone. Down at the ground, the brakeman was holding fast to the rope. It was the brakeman, diligently at watch, that allowed me to swing in the breeze and not fall down the side of the cliff when I refused to let go of my fear and lean back to the right angle. And in that moment, I realized how foolish I had been to hold so tightly to what I thought would save me. And I placed my feet back against the cliffside. I leaned back to a 90-degree angle. I let go and trusted the brakeman to see me through if I got into trouble. And the journey down that hill to the ground was an incredible ride because of it. Letting go of our fears, letting go of our grip on our precious things, trusting in ourselves and in God to work in us and through us. It won't mean we will always defeat the Goliaths of the world. It won't mean that storms won't blow into our lives. It won't mean that our open hearts will not be broken and our souls kept safe from deep despair. But it will mean that God will be with us, walking alongside of us, most especially in the darker parts of our journey. And it will mean that the journey will be a lot freer, a lot less anxious, a lot more fun. I used to say to my team when I was in business at AIG, I used to say to them, they'd go all anxious about the outcomes of projects, and I'd say, listen, believe it will all work out. Because in the end, the journey will be a lot easier and a lot more fun, and it doesn't change the outcome a bit. You see, faith in God isn't about everything going smoothly, but about being given the strength and the love to face the bad and to embrace the joys, to step boldly towards life challenges and stand up again when at first we don't succeed. Faith is about opening wide our hearts to believe that the storms will eventually pass, to let go of the armor we have built up, the tools we think will save us, and to let God work in us and through us so that we can be the incredible children of God that we are. Faith is knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide us, that the body and blood of Christ will sustain us, and that God, our great man, will be there with us always, to the end of our journey. Amen.